In Acts 4 and 36 says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. And Barnabas means son of encouragement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dear precious Lord, I just come before you tonight. Dear God, I ask for healing prayers for my brother Randy. Dear Jesus, I ask you to touch him. And dear God, these folks in the southeast, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, bless them, Lord, these two storms they've had to endure. And this monster of a storm had just passed through. God, just let these folks see that these material things mean nothing. But to have their lives and the Holy Spirit still working in them, dear God, that's what's important. And if they'll just trust into you, Jesus, you'll take care of their needs as you take care of ours. Dear Lord, I just I pray for your Holy Spirit to come and be with us tonight and just anoint us while we bring the message. Dear Jesus, we thank you for all things. Amen. When I got the call to do this, it was like, well, Lord, show me what you'd have me to speak. And I went through several things, and God finally brought me to Acts. And I like Acts. In Acts 13, we learn about Saul, where his name's turned into Paul then. And Paul and Barnabas, they were called to be the world's first missionaries. Could you imagine that? I mean, here they're in a whole new territory, Gentile region. And, you know, Gentiles, they were, you know, if you weren't Jewish, then you weren't, you were devils and you wasn't allowed to, you know, Jesus ain't going to touch you or God's not going to anoint you or anything. Well, they found out different, but Paul, what I love about Paul is Jesus is the one that called him. He changed him in an instant. I mean, he went from someone that was putting people that called themselves Christians in jail or having them stoned to death like Stephen. And, you know, he wasn't a very nice guy. He was really in for Christians. He had it in for him. But when Jesus struck him down on the road to Taurus, boom, everything was different. He was on fire for Jesus. I pray to be a pinky of his preaching. If I could just have a little bit of that spirit he has, because he was a powerful preacher. Where he went, he told the story of how Christ came to this world to save us from our sins and what the price he paid for that. And I just loved it. It talks, they answered this call by getting into a boat and sailing to over 30 port cities in the Mediterranean Sea. And like I say, Paul, he preached powerfully. And he was telling how God had brought forth the Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Messiah and to show people what God was like. That, what God's like. He showed God is love. He is so much love. And he testified there were many witnesses who saw and talked and walked and ate with Jesus after he arose from the dead. He was truly the long-awaited Messiah. And, you know, people heard the good news, and many believed that Jesus Christ was the risen Son of God, and these people turned to spread the news. That's what we got to do today. We got to tell people about Jesus. We can't be afraid to speak up about Jesus. Wherever we're at, if you're standing in line in the grocery store, hey, What more better thing to do while you're waiting there while that person's shoving all stuff through? Hey, I do it, and it took me a while to get to that, but, you know, it don't embarrass me anymore. You know, is there anything I can pray for you for? A lot of them are kind of like surprised at that, you know, like, well, yeah, I've been having a really rough time with my family or financials or this, and well, let's pray. And you know, by the time you get done praying with them, we're both in tears because Jesus came right there. So preaching, we can all be preachers. We're all called into ministry. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, then you're a minister. We're supposed to take the word out. We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're to take it out and spread it around into the world. Tell them how great Jesus Christ is, what he's done for us, what he does for us. And that's what Paul's doing here while they're out on this missionary trip. The people, they turned to spread the news, and Paul and Barnabas, they had brought this to Antioch. Antioch, that was the capital. That was Greeks. That was the first place that the message was preached. The first Greek church that the sermon of Jesus Christ was preached at. So, the response in Antioch was positive, and it even resulted in the establishment of a church. And the response in subsequent towns was even mixed. Some places have got downright hostile. That's just day and time, too. I have asked people if I can pray for them, and they get like, hey, you know, I don't believe in that. And, okay, I'm still going to pray for you. But, So, in Iconium, the missionary's second stop, some of the people heard Paul preach. They become violent and started throwing stones. So, Paul and Barnabas, they headed out of there. They got out of there. But they went from Iconium, and they went into Lystra. And this is where Paul healed a crippled man. He was preaching just like this. He looked out in the crowd, and he seen a man had healing faith. And he said, this man, he's been crippled his life. He said, get up and walk. The man got up and started walking. Now the people, they got all excited about this because they worshiped Zeus and Hermes. So they thought Barnabas was, they thought Paul was Zeus. No, I'm sorry. They thought Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was Hermes. And so they all started trying to put garlands around their necks and stuff. Barnabas said, hey, no. We're men just like you guys are. Your gods are fake. They're not living. We worship a living God. Well, needless to say, that didn't go over real good. But these people, they didn't care about that very much. So, they had told him that he had created the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Well, he was getting ready to go on. But they were interrupted by people who stoned Paul. They stoned him to death and left him at the gates of the city. But guess what? God wasn't done with him yet. God raised him right back up. He goes back into the city. The next morning, him and Barnabas get up, and they fled the city, and they went to Derbe. Now, there they preached without being attacked. And they were able to found another church and make disciples. They were even appointed church leaders to keep the church going and growing. Paul was a powerful preacher. Merely because, and this is where we can do this, merely because he was willing to tell Christ's story and testimony and testify how Christ had radically changed his life. We all have a story how Christ changed our life, right? What, how he was before. And when Christ come into our hearts, like Paul, we was changed. You know, some of us, it took a little time. Me, it took a little time. Matter of fact, they had a preacher call me Backdoor Johnny one time because I would run out the back door to church every time I got close to God because I got scared. I was going to have to give things up. I didn't want to give that up. But finally, Jesus nailed that back door shut. I can't go at it no more. You know, praise the Lord. It's been 11 years since I ran out any back door. I'm not planning on going out the back door ever again. God has proved himself to me just how much he loves me. What he, you know, I guess I didn't realize just how deeply this man loved me. He gave his blood for me. You know, blood's life. And, you know, when I get up to pray, I like praying for the church and praying for everybody. But I kneel down like I'm at the feet of Jesus and pray to him. And I'm washing his feet with my tears. That's how great a God we got. And I didn't deserve to be saved. I didn't deserve what he did for me. But, you know, what I'm learning is who deserves it? God loved us enough that he thought we did. So he sent his son, and Jesus, you know, they thought they killed him, but he hadn't. He's alive. He's alive today. He's alive right here. He's alive in all y'all's hearts. And he's here for us. He takes care of our needs. And that's a hard thing to get through because we're in such a, I want it now, life. You know, what's that Wentworth commercial? It's my money and I want it now. It's hit the phone, ask Google. Google will tell you. But if you want to be in a relationship with God, what I've learned, we gotta learn God's time. We gotta slow down. One day in heaven is 1,000 years on earth. So in God's time, but he won't fail you. He never has failed me yet. Just like your song says, he never has failed me yet. He's there. Am I rich and all that? No. But I don't need all that. I'm rich with Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. The money and stuff, yeah, it'd be nice. But all it would cause me problems, and I don't need none of that. I depend on Jesus to supply, and he does. He gives me all I need, more than a lot of people have. I tell you, Carbondale, we do CR ministry, on Tuesday nights, Hurts, Habits, and Hang-Ups. And then I lead a 12-step group for men. I'm not trying to turn this into testimony, but just to say, we meet a lot of people. They're homeless. They're addicted to drugs. They're not bad people. I mean, they're addicted to drugs. They got into drugs. There's presidents and of banks and stuff that get addicted to opioids and such. And they lose everything. But that don't mean they're bad people. It just, they made the wrong choice because we all have free will. And we can make wrong choices. But we try to show them that, hey, Jesus still loves you. He will take you back. He will, you bear it to him and he will take the load off of you. His yoke's easy. It's real easy. All you got to do is go out and spread the word. That's all he asks. That's all his yoke is. And I'm sorry I got off on that, but it's just that any of us can be a powerful preacher. We don't need a pulpit. We don't need a divinity degree. I mean, seriously, if you just want to go out and preach Jesus, you don't need that. But we do need to tell Christ's story and testify to what he's done in our lives. And for most of us, it's as simple as ministering to your neighbors. Having a cup of coffee with them out on the patio. Share a cup, some cookies, which they better be quick if they're in front of me. But there's so many ways that we can tell Jesus' story and spread his word. We don't have to have a church and all that, because we're one or two's together. I am with you. And that's something I relish. Jesus, my wife and I, we go to a nursing home and preach in there every Sunday. That's our second service. And these people, God had showed me this, and it was crazy how God made it all come together, because it was all God. But I was at a DCPI training, and we had 30 minutes to come up with a ministry and how you do it and set it up, and that came to me. Nursing homes, shut-ins, hospitals, prison ministry. And we got into this nursing home. Well, these people, they didn't smile. They were rolled in and just kind of shoved in there. One lady broke my heart. She's been put in there, and it's been 30 years since her kids have come and seen her. That broke my heart. I couldn't believe that. But after a year, we've been doing this a little over a year and a half, and after a year, one lady rolled up, and she said, "John," she said, "would it be possible if I could talk to you after services?" "Yeah, honey, anytime." Because I hug and kiss them, and I love them. They're blessed. They bless me more than we could ever bless them. And she said, "You know what? Before you and your wife started coming here, I didn't have any hope. And now I see there's hope." And you know, do you want to know what God named this ministry? Operation Hope. If that did not confirm we was doing what God wanted us to do, it was overwhelming. Needless to say, I was crying like a baby. I mean, that just touched my heart. Not to build me up, but just the testimony that is that we're doing God's work. And that's what the message I'm trying to put here tonight. We can all make a powerful difference in someone's life. A stranger. Don't be afraid to talk to Jesus about anything. You get the chance to speak with Jesus. We all got the chance. Sit in a doctor's office or waiting for your car to get repaired, dentist's office, wherever. You can get the sense that somebody might need to hear about Jesus right then and there. And you don't know. You don't know what difference that makes with that person. I mean, like the people in the grocery line you pray for. I don't know if what we prayed helped his situation or what. But I know I listened to the Holy Spirit. I know I didn't deny the Holy Spirit when he said to do it. I did what he did. That's no praise to me either. Because we all got that same Holy Spirit in us. That's what brings us to being brothers and sisters in Christ. And we got to trust and obey that. There's people out there that doesn't know Jesus Christ. You wouldn't think that in the year 2018 with cell phones and everything. You wouldn't think there's a person out there that don't know Jesus Christ. But surprisingly, I find that in the neighborhoods in Carbondale where we go and pick up a lot of the children just to bring them, to let them know what love is. and that you don't have to beat someone up or kill someone because you loaned them a quarter and they wouldn't pay you back. That's the life they see. That's the life they learn. And we got to show them that God, that Jesus loves them. And there's another way, and it's love. Love is what we got to put out there. These young ones, they're our future. They watch us. I learned that from my grandkids. I got two little five-year-old twin grandsons plus several other grandkids. But them little five-year-old grandboys, they're quick to tell Grandpa about it. Matter of fact, one of them come up to Daddy the other day and said, Daddy, why don't we go to church? He said, when we're at Pawpaw and Mama's house, we always go to church. Kind of put his daddy on the spot. Daddy said, do you really want to go to church? He said, yes, I do. They're going to church right now. This boy, 6 years ago when his mom and I got married, you would never have thunk it. But that little five-year-old boy changed it. Barnabas changed these people's life. Paul and Barnabas changed a lot of lives. And we can all do that too. Just remember, Christ is in you, and he wants you to put him out there. Don't keep him to yourself. Share him. There's more than enough to go around. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, dear God, I just pray that you rain down your Holy Spirit here tonight upon these folks. And just, Lord, when we leave here tonight, may we feel your Spirit in our hearts. Let us just feel your powerful, powerful love that you have for each one of us. And let us to make it a point to let our children know who you are, to show them who you are. We got to be Christ-like. Dear God, let us show that out in public. There's people out here that's just craving for something in their life, and they don't know what it is. It's Jesus. That's that empty spot, that empty void in our heart. We need to fill it, and there's only one person that fits in that mold. No drugs, no alcohol, only Jesus. So, Lord, let Jesus get into their hearts so that we can spread around the whole world, to the ends of this world, your message of love and hope and grace. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.